Paladin, we can't hear you. Are you broken? I guess so. Did it come out again?
Do I want to know the context for that?
Looks like it did.
Now we just need Ken to put it back in.
Boost up for Buster!
Kettle!
This is Superhero Time. With XV.
Well, sometimes you just gotta stick something in your mouth, right, Ken?
Hey, Mickey.
Blowjob reference.
Paladin.
There's always room for wieners.
Ken.
Yeah.
And Fort Max.
That's why you use protection.
All against?
Nay.
Well, the eyes have it. I really don't know where I'm going with that, so let's just get into the podcast. Superhero time.
Please. Hi.
Hooray.
It's the post-Toy Fair show.
Is it now?
Barely anything happened there.
Yeah. So let's talk about Transformers.
Well, that Ultra Magnus is pretty cool.
It is. It was the nicest thing at Toy Fair.
Yeah, that was a show stealer since we already knew about Devastator.
We stole that from the show.
We put a bounty on Devastator.
$50.
Uh-huh. Hey, did you hear somebody got kicked out of the Hasbro presentation for touching toys?
Oh, did they?
Uh-huh.
Ooh, detail.
There may or may not be photos. I have not been able to confirm whether anybody actually got and posted pictures of that yet.
I saw a report that someone accidentally knocked over Devastator while it was on display. Was it that person, or was
that
unrelated?
No, that was apparently unrelated, amazingly enough. I also have heard after the fact that the leg fell off of Ultra Magnus when they were trying to take Minimus Ambus out of the chest.
What, you mean these aren't production quality samples?
No, they are, so you better watch out when you get this, because it's going to be extremely fragile.
Because, yeah, Magnus was a test shot, apparently.
Yeah, like early stage test shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's carved out of wax. Soap.
Cyclonus may have been. They didn't even want to, like, move any of its parts.
Yeah, because from what I heard is that it was kind of, the paint had kind of gummed the chest shut.
Oh, so
I think that may have been a convenient excuse anyway, because even during the presentation, they were like, well, the combiner head will be revealed at a later date. I think they're, like, trying to, like, do a reveal of this, because it's probably going to be, if it's not going to be some kind of story thing in the comics that they're trying to preserve, you know,
well,
I think.
Watch it just be Galvatron.
Well, it is Galvatron.
Galvatronus.
Well, they sent it over to the factories in China, but the head came back too small.
This isn't fun, Bob. Come on. The Hasbro people know how to make a head fit. They're not just drawing things on a napkin willy-nilly and faxing it to China and telling them, make this work.
Yeah, when they draw things on a napkin, it's the plans for the entire series.
Uh-huh. Nothing nearly so important as a head design.
But yes, Power Rangers at Toy Fair.
They're actually putting a lot of villains in the Dino Charge toy line.
Power Rangers at Toy Fair, I think, basically sums it up.
No, I was kind of impressed to see some of these villain figures.
People in Japan are glad that there's a Lucky Hero toy.
I guess. Even though they haven't shown up in the show yet, but maybe they will.
I look forward to these figures warming shelves like nobody's business.
Mm.
Let's see, what's this one?
Because we all know how Power Rangers villains sell.
They don't.
A monster with a lighthouse on its shoulder.
That's probably the Trapper monster from Kyoryuger.
That's certainly a thing that needs more paint.
Yes. Well, they're all that.
Which is really sad since these are, you know, like, display pieces that are mostly presumably hand-painted anyway. It's hand-painted and still doesn't have enough paint.
And it looked like there's an actual full Zord of one of the, light of one of the non-Kyoryuger mecha dinos.
Yeah, they had an Ammonite Zord on display.
Huh.
Will there be an Omastar version?
Huh.
How many batteries do you have to insert to make it level up?
Well, if one battery is equivalent to one rare candy, I guess it depends what level it starts at.
Well, then, yeah.
Also, yeah,
the figures
Terra
look okay.
Charge Megazord, which is Gold's, and the Gray's Mecha. The Mecha, whatever, how the hell you spell it.
And, of course, Gold's weapon
and spelling really
morpher.
Matters is how you pronounce it.
Yeah!
And they had Gold's weapon and morphers, and a bunch of the chargers. A whole lot of the chargers.
Like, there's a bunch of stuff that you would expect to see, like the Zords and the roleplay stuff, and also stuff that you wouldn't have expected, like all of these villain figures. The villain figures kind of make me feel like, you know, the 94-95 line again.
Yeah.
Where there was the whole dedicated series of figures to the monsters.
In two different scales, even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, like, back then it made sense, because, you know, Power Rangers, they literally could not produce enough toys to meet demand. They could make anything they wanted to and have it sell. That's not exactly true anymore. That hasn't
By not exactly true, you mean that would never, ever work.
Like, that hasn't been true in about 19 and a half years, give or take. So, hopefully all these villain figures come out in one assortment together, since they're going to be what everybody wants, and that will ensure that they're around forever for anybody to get at their leisure.
And in related stuff, they're doing a Legacy Black and Gold Megazord.
Which, you know, that's really seems like it'd be a better San Diego Comic-Con exclusive than...
But that's retail, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks nice, but yeah, I don't really want one.
No, me either. I heard, I heard like secondhand that Legacy stuff is planned to continue at least into 2017.
Right, and the names they tossed out for future items were Legacy Serpentera, Legacy Tor.
No. Let him finish, though.
I like how you thought to pause after you said that.
And Legacy Pyramidus.
I'm half surprised it's not Legacy Red Battlezord just because it's Tommy.
So when we were doing the live stream on Sunday, I think we were talking about
already did the Legacy Tor.
Yeah, Tiger Zord's box.
Well, they probably think the Pyramidus is Tommy's Zord because it's the Six Ranger Zord.
Could be. Well, he was the Black Ranger in Dino Thunder, right?
Yeah, yes. Totally.
Well, the good thing about it is that it would piss off Jason David Frank.
I'm in favor of that.
So, you know, they can never make Legacy Serpentera to actually be in scale with the other Zords, but if they were to do that, I would kind of like an accessory Red Dragon on the Thunder Zord Assault team that's in scale to it.
Just so it can step on it?
You need in-scale Legacy Tor for that. remember in the Power Transfer, the flyby shot?
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the coolest things.
It was Die Ranger mecha stuff that wasn't Die Rhino, so it was good.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course.
See, I just want Serpentera to be Zord Builder compatible for, you know, a big screw-up of scale.
That would be amazing. I saw on Twitter a day or two ago where somebody put the Dino Zords on the White Tiger Zord to approximate the Mega Tiger Zord. Looked a lot better than I expected it to.
So it does have all the right joints for that combination, then?
Apparently so. Your mom sure does. But like
Round doesn't have joints.
Well, there's holes and plugs. the really weird thing, though, was from Imaginext.
You're back, Ken.
Yes. Yes, I am.
What does Imaginext do?
Imaginext is apparently going to have Power Rangers stuff.
Well, that's good.
Including a Megazord playset that is perhaps 3 or 4 feet tall.
A original Megazord playset.
Yeah.
Imaginext is a really good toy line. I mean, it's so clearly not something that we're interested in, but yeah, if you look at it, it looks like quality stuff. It's interesting. It's
well
made.
I'll go out on a limb here and say that while in general, we and our segment of fandom are probably not interested in Imaginext overall, if a 3 or 4 foot tall Megazord came out that, you know, figures could sit in and, you know, that kind of thing, I think more people than you expect would probably be into it.
Well, yeah, it's just like, you know, there's the occasional preschool toy
that's appealing.
You think
they want to be doing something from a current series?
Apparently not. No, well, I mean, like, think about it, though. You know, on Netflix, there's original Power Rangers. There's DVDs of original Power Rangers. It's not like it's not accessible to kids.
Z-Ranger just shipped to me today. I'll have it tomorrow.
Cool.
Hey, me too.
Yay.
You know, like, I echo the sentiment that maybe something more current and relevant to the ongoing line might make more sense in one context, but, you know, go for the iconic thing that the parent of the kid also would be like, I remember this, get.
Basically,
you know,
the G1 effect.
There's also the thing that, you know, since Imaginext is not a Bandai property, there may be, you know, do not compete elements with this. So, you know, you can use stuff from the back library, but you can't do anything that would be significantly competitive with what we're pushing this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Legacy Megazord counts. Because, like, that is two distinctly different markets they're pushing toward. Whereas, you know, if it was Kyuryugen's design, it could end up being a thing of, well, get the kid this little one or get the kid this really big one for, you know, maybe, like, twice the difference in price.
Well, Imaginext in general tends to go for more of timeless, iconic things.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's
going
what I'm
thinking,
too, with the G1 effect, as Ken puts it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they like their castles and their Vikings and, you know, their DC.
Oh, and also with Toy Fair, that feature Tyrannosaurus.
Mm-hmm.
That apparently they only had one of, because the box that they had on display had the deluxe Gabutera in it.
Whoops. So just imagine getting that Imaginext Megazord and having it attacking a castle.
That
or
would be
a
awesome.
Ship, or, you know.
Yeah.
Being
or the Batcave.
That'll be a big selling point for a lot of buyers.
Imagine the Megazord sitting in the Batcave as one of Batman's trophies. Like, just in the background somewhere, no explanation, but obviously implying, well, he beat the Power Rangers one day. Because he's
Batman.
Well,
speaking of mixing and matching things, Mixamorph is coming back.
And it's a different style of Mixamorph.
Yes, it's the same thing as Hasbro, basically.
Yeah.
The Hero Mashers.
Except with one major difference, in that these actually look kind of fun and interesting.
I was thinking... Okay,
all
so
joints
like,
all over the place.
Okay, so like one of the things they showed was pieces to build a Tiger Zord, and they showed that combined with like the White Ranger figure, but like this looks like a slightly simplified but probably a little bit better playable Retrofire in effect.
Yes, I had the same thought. Yeah. Also, the Tiger Zord can change into his Tiger mode too.
Some of these combinations...
And they have extra ball joints and stuff on the shoulders, so you can go make... hideous monstrosities like you can with Zord Builder.
Some of these guys look horrifying.
Yes.
Like, just straight up nightmare fuel.
I like, too, that like the Ranger torsos look restrained a little bit in their proportioning. Like, they're not comic book defined. You know, they're muscular, but not, you know, steroidal.
They're a little steroidal, but, you know.
They're less ridiculous than the current line of toys.
They skew more toward Jungle Fury bodies than toward, like, you know...
I don't know. Even the current line doesn't look that bad compared to some of the past
these
ones.
Look more in line with DC Animated Universe musculature.
Yeah, something like that.
It's a little bit more streamlined.
It's something that I can more accept as being in the Power Rangers aesthetic. The comic book styling never really worked for me.
Yeah.
That's why I like the Jungle Fury line so much, because you know, it dialed back on that a lot, and the figures looked really good as a result.
Yeah, and RPM didn't.
Oh my god, what are you playing with?
Nothing.
What are you eating? What are the pork rinds today?
Nothing at all.
Ken? I will stop this podcast right now, and we will not go anywhere until you tell us.
It was a Dino Charge toy. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'll turn this podcast right around and go back home.
No, if we do that, then it'll be over with. I have to stop it here and make him wait to continue indefinitely until he complies. That's where the power comes from.
I thought it came from the basement.
That's the power chamber.
Oh, sorry.
Should be.
Or is, yes. Or is it triggers maximum drive noise?
Oh, God.
Yeah,
the classics never die.
I'm actually probably going to get these Mix and Morph toys because they actually look a lot of fun.
They look entertaining, which is nothing you can ever say about a Mix and Morph toy before. So good job, Bandai, which is also something you have a hard time saying.
What kind of freaking... Oh, man.
What?
Huh?
Some kind of bizarro world.
Oh.
Good job, Bandai of America, at that. good job, Bandai of Japan. You know, you say that pretty often enough, but, you know. America?
Every so often they do something awesome. Microzords.
Once in a blue moon.
True.
On the other hand, they still find a way to mess that up, though, by never giving you a full set. Because, like, even Overdrive, if I remember right, the first half of that series and the second half were not even intercompatible with each other.
Yes.
And Jungle Fury never had the full range of Zords in the micro set.
RPM did sense. If you were in Europe.
Exactly. If you were in Europe. Are we in Europe?
Nope.
Good.
Not last I checked.
It could be his.
But it's a little late for that now, isn't it?
I suppose so.
We needed to
That's
know
no excuse.
Beetle. We needed to know Gigabeetle in 2009.
Oh, hey, I found more pictures of the Mixamorph once. Apparently, there's one of the Lobster Zord, too. Fun.
From Samurai?
Yeah.
Yes. It's a weird choice, but it seems to be in a lot of the photos.
There's also a black and green Tiger Zord. I don't understand it at all.
Black and green?
Uh-huh.
Was there a red one?
Let's see if I can figure out how to paste a link again.
He's on a Mac, you know.
Yeah, they don't paste links. It's fourth row down.
Fourth
last
row
photo.
Down.
Or the fifth row down, whichever.
Well, which is it?
Well, just go to the end of the set of photos.
And which one are we supposed to be looking at?
The black.
Oh, there's a white
and
purple
Zord.
Lobster Zord too.
Weird.
Yeah, there are several.
Oh.
There are a few different colors to the Lobster Zord.
Yeah, that's definitely a black and green Tiger Zord.
Maybe it's supposed to be like the Thunder Lion Zord.
Huh.
No.
There's Kiryu Cyan.
No, that's just green. It's bad
design.
Light.
Oh, okay. Really?
Really.
But he's right next to something green.
It can't be that. Yeah.
It's right next to something green.
Unless that's not green.
And there's a green in the back.
Yes.
That's just bad light.
That's the weapon the green Zord forms on the Megazord. That's green.
No, that's cyan.
Well, that's actually a good point. That is totally green's weapon on his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
mix and morph.
It's still cyan colored.
Maybe, you know, they don't have, like, all the stuff tooled up yet, and they just ran one out or, you know, spray painted
one. Yeah, maybe
these
are just test shots.
Well, it is. If you look at Green Cyan's elbow, you can see where the paint's rubbing off at the elbow.
Oh, yeah.
On the right hand.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So,
Bandai would surely never release something disappointing and irritating.
No.
Well, especially if we spent so much time praising them just now. That's impossible.
That'll never come back and bite us in the ass.
Speaking of which,
they would never dash our hopes like that.
Speaking of which, look up a little bit on the right side, and there's Shinken or Mega Samurai Gold with the Claw Zord for a head.
Okay.
Dear God.
Okay then.
That's quite a little something, isn't it?
That's a thing.
Oh, and up and back is something with two claws or claws for head, and
it's the lobster sword with the
that
cherry
is...
gold on top of that. Looks
why
like.
Why so many of the lobster sword?
I guess that's all they had to work with in prototypes.
That's because Bandai's got so much money they can just buy all the lobster they want now.
Okay.
They're the cockroaches of the sea.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wait, SR... 1999?
They're big.
No, $9.99.
No, that says 1999 on the tag.
No. It's a dollar sign, 999.
No, it's a dollar sign, 1999. This is the deluxe pack.
Oh, so that would be a
deluxe pack probably means there's several items in it.
Yes, so.
Go over one photo and you can see it, one for $9.99.
Yeah, you know,
I see now. Okay.
Yeah, Ken, you know how,
we're both right.
You know how Hero Mashers have, you know, different price points because there's different numbers
of
parts
and
stuff.
Like that big, light up Grimlock head or whatever.
Yeah.
Or just because there's more parts in there.
Right.
I guarantee you this deluxe pack will be the Red Ranger with the Zord.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And the $9.99 ones will be, you know, individual figures sort of as represented up there on the pedestal behind the deluxe pack guys. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I kind of this interpretation of the Kyoryuger Morpher as a shotgun.
Well, you know, when you add the sword onto it, it basically is.
That's the combination.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go then.
Yeah. What pictures that in?
Yeah, it was in this week's episode actually. So,
which I didn't watch.
Yay!
Right. So, I mean, there wasn't a wealth of stuff at Toy Fair, but there were some interesting things.
It's been the last minutes talking about Mixamorph.
Well, that was one of the interesting things.
That was the interesting thing.
Well, no, I mean, there was also Imaginext Megazord.
Yeah.
That was interesting in a weird way.
Loyal Subjects, Power Rangers, boxy things.
Who cares?
No thanks.
Who cares? But there's a Rita and a Zed.
Who cares?
Who cares? The black and gold Legacy Megazord looks nice. It looks nice, though.
The movie figures look nice, but then I think I'm the only one who likes those, so...
I want to see them in person, because I think it's a case where those just don't photograph well.
Maybe, but then again, I don't...
Will White have a crotch tear? That's the question.
I'll customize one if he doesn't. Yeah.
I still just can't bring myself to care.
Mickey, I'm going to hold you to tearing his crotch.
I love the thighs on pink and yellow in the movie line. Because not only do they have a magnificent thigh gap, but like Chun-Li is envious of those legs.
No, like by all indications, the movie figures are, you know, they have like detailed sculpts, and I think it's not getting captured well in photos. I think they will look a lot better in person.
Most likely.
That's my problem with them. There's just like so much one color on those bodies. All the details getting washed away, and they just look bland.
Maybe.
Well, that's the optimism I'm holding out for them. If I, you know, see them in person at some point, it's like, oh no, that's just really how it is. Like, you know.
But they'd look good with the paint wash.
Probably. Or just, you know, paint.
Something that catches the light rather than...
absorbs it, yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, if the bodies were not apparently just bare plastic, I think that would help a lot. So there's your project. Just, you know, go over and fully paint one of those figures and make it
that
look like
too hard.
Make it look like what the sculpt deserves.
They'll
like
make
you
them
did, like you did with
plastic.
The Ritas. Do like you did with the Rita figures.
Yeah.
You did really good on those. I still have the one sitting here.
You better still have it.
Well, I mean, you know, just as I like move stuff off the desk, that's one of the things that just stays.
That was a good figure despite what they did to it.
Obviously. I mean, there was a lot to work with there. They just didn't work with any of it.
Terrible cartoon eyes.
I'm telling you, before you painted it, the face looked like my grandmother.
So your grandmother was a space witch?
Still is, actually.
Oh, okay.
She's the one that's still alive. She's demented. Okay, so Toy Fair wasn't all the news that happened, even though it's probably most of it.
There's just a couple other things.
The Ninja Toys did come out over the weekend.
And there's a couple on Mandarake already.
Moreover,
no, exactly. Gary Owens has died.
Who's that?
He was, one of, among a bunch of other voice and live acting roles, he was the announcer for Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
Oh.
Well, that's disappointing.
It's disappointing, even though until 30 seconds ago I had no idea who that person was.
I believe he was also Space Ghost.
Oh.
I could see that, actually. Thinking on those two voices. Yeah, there's Ninja Toy videos on YouTube that I'm sure nobody's watched.
Nah, what's the general consensus on them? Is he good or does he suck?
They look okay, I guess.
I'm just going to wait for the show.
Someone on Twitter pointed out that Shurikenjin, is that it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Has like, leg joints that would allow it to take a sitting pose. So, like, the speculation is the final combination is going to be, like, something that Shurikenjin sits in the middle of.
Oh, so it's going to be like the rainbow line all over again.
I guess.
So it's a Russian doll situation we're looking at.
Yes! Mecha in a mecha.
If they did it decently, that would be a really interesting way to go.
So it'd be a giant robot sitting in a giant robot, piloting a giant robot.
And remember the cockpit chair.
Oh, God, yes! With the ranger sitting in a... Man, these ninjas are lazy.
And then the other bit of weirdness from Japan, meet Kamen Rider 4.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
So we're just numbering them now, huh?
Apparently.
V3 is just so pissed off at this point.
As like, is Rider Man.
Well, like even in the, like... The Superhero Tyson GP trailer that came out that briefly showed Ninja, like one of the shots.
Yeah, it is a Tyson after all.
Yeah. One of the shots is just like Kamen Rider 3 slugging V3 in the face. I'm like, oh, that's unfortunate.
Oh.
Poor V3.
See, this is why V3 does coke. Because shit like this happens to him.
Well, I think V3 does coke because coke is awesome. Coke is it.
Now, although it's kind of cheap, I kind of like Kamen Rider 4's look, though.
I kind of like it because it is cheap.
Yeah.
It looks more like an emergency cobbled together suit.
It looks more like it came from the 70s than 3 does.
Yeah.
But not in a bad way.
No, not in a bad way at all. I kind of like it.
It looks like, you know, in-universe, somebody cobbled together the bare minimum to make a Rider suit.
Just like Rider 1 and 2.
Well,
it looks like it could have a story behind it. Like, this is the Americans' Kamen Rider, and they did it through the military.
Yeah,
Japan's military's Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
It's a Kamen Rider that uses a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got. I was just about to say he looks like a paratrooper with where the straps are going.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, really?
paying attention down there, are we? But no, he looks more interesting to me than anything in Drive does. So it's like,
yeah, that's true.
And this thing's just for a DVD special.
I know that's disappointing. Actually,
the only problem I have is the helmet. The design and the colors remind me of Beast, and I don't like that.
I didn't even think
I hate you.
I still don't think that. There's too much green.
I'm just saying the helmet,
beast.
Though.
Nah, I don't see it.
I love.
I refuse
of
to see it.
Of
no,
the
but if you look, there's the alternating gold and black stripes that like slick back like a mane.
No, I don't
and
see
he,
it.
And
I
he kind of got
no.
he kind of got the teeth coming up. he kind of got the teeth coming up from the jawline and the red eyes.
I know. A lot of writers have red eyes.
It's not. It's
that's because they smoke a lot of pot.
Beast had green eyes anyway.
I don't see.
I like that he's got a pilot scarf stuffed into his uniform.
Had what?
Yeah,
pilot scarf.
Yeah.
Oh,
he has it tucked into the chest armor.
It's an interesting looking suit.
Yeah.
It's an interesting looking suit on an obvious budget.
Yes. Sometimes, though, that gives us good things, like Garo, the one who shines in darkness.
But hey, you know what suit this looks better than in any case?
What?
Super Tatoba.
Well, that's not hard.
The longer I look at this picture of Kamen Rider 4, the more mysterious his feet become.
How he's standing?
Well, like one's just so short and misshapen, the other one's so long and smooth, and where his knees are like right above his boots, and it's just all very confusing the longer I look at it. It's like some weird forced perspective that's been flattened through the lens they chose, and like it's destroyed all sense of perspective, like an M.C. Escher painting.
So, he's a paratrooper, obviously, because he's got the backpack and everything. So I think what it is, just like when he was training to do the jumps and make the landings, he got it wrong the first couple times, and now
why they had to turn him into a cyborg.
And his shins are now shorter than his forearms.
I'm just as happy not having context for that one either.
See, Emma, when you go away, you miss all the good conversations.
There's a metaphor for something there.
Butt sex?
Death? Pubic plunger?
So, Paladin, I think that Kamen Rider 4's helmet looks like Beast. What do you think?
Let me look closer at it. Get the sense that they're trying to redo Rider-Man again.
That wasn't the question, though, was it?
I guess there could be some beastly elements. It does look like it has fangs around the bottom part.
Okay, Ken, you're right. It doesn't look like Beast at all.
Oh, never mind. Thank you. Thank you, Paladin.
Always nice to feel good for something.
So, Tokyo Joe did end this past weekend, so Ninja will be starting on the 22nd.
Ninja Day.
Oh, man. That'll be a fun summary next week.
You mean 2 weeks.
No, the Tokyo Joe ending, not Ninja.
Oh, I wasn't sure which one you meant then.
Well, we don't... No one's seen the Ninja yet, so...
Exactly.
That's because they're ninjas.
To have any context for whether it would be fun or not.
Ninjas are hard to see.
And I don't even have full context for Tokyuger's ending yet, because the stream I was watching was acting really bad.
Oh. Well, damn.
Do you want me to tell you how it ends?
No,
I know generally.
Yeah, Tokyo
what...
Red passes it off to Tokyo, or the Ninja Red at the very end.
Actually, the pass off is pretty cool.
Yeah, the pass off is, as usual, well in character.
Yeah. He never asked for that high five.
This was non-consensual.
Okay. Well,
no,
then.
High fives.
Tasha Yar came from a completely failed colony. There were high five gangs. So, is there anything else in the news?
No. That Kamen Rider 4 was all I had.
Okay, good enough for me. Well, then I guess we should get into Dino Charge. So
we are doing that episode?
Why not? Why wouldn't we?
I feel like I should argue more, but I don't have an answer.
You're just afraid if you argue more, I'll make you do the summary.
No, I can already guess what you're making me do.
Okay. Well, the good news is I'm going to do the Dino Charge summary.
Woo! Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, screw you too, Paladin.
Is the theme of every Monday.
I was expecting the answer to be too late. I'm already here. So, Mickey, do you care about being spoiled for Dino Charge?
No, don't ruin the epic plot for me.
Good enough. So, out on a farm in a really pretty stretch of the country, someone's working on fencing. You know, with a sword.
Yes, so Riley is actually a swordsman. Legitimately.
While an overly cowboy person watches from outside through the cracks in the deteriorating barn walls, roping the door open, he surprises his brother, who quickly tries to hide what he's been playing with.
One thing I will say, though,
he was alone.
One thing I will say, though, in the opening scene is that there's actually some decent cinematography for Power Rangers.
Yeah.
That, like, just that opening shot of the farm, it actually looks really nice.
Mm-hmm. And that area actually is really pretty.
It is! It's freaking beautiful!
They found a nice piece of New Zealand countryside to film that part in.
It's like
they're making it look extra nice in exchange for extra budget.
Yeah, and it's like they're actually taking advantage of their shooting location. Imagine that!
They spent like an extra $100 in gas to drive out there.
Totally.
So it's time to feed the pigs, but Riley first has to go chase down his dog, who's run out quite a distance into the woods in a short time, where Fury finds him and advances menacingly on the dog.
Okay, also, what is Riley wearing exactly? Because, you know, like, in the credits, that, I was like, oh, that looks like, you know, like a, you know, chef outfit or something. And then I'm looking, it's like, no, that's just a really dorky shirt.
he's probably a
hand-me-down of some sort.
He's a dude who's self-training to be a fencer in his barn.
Yeah.
I think dorky is just the start of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Riley comes... as a fencer, he does what comes natural, and he grabs a fence post to go defend his dog.
Yes!
So he winds up doing kind of a repeat of Tyler from last episode, deflecting the shots from Fury,
except
without the fence
post
getting burned away.
He's a lot more effective than Tyler was, though.
Well, yeah, he's not using a shovel.
And he actually knows how to fight.
But still, he gets thrown back, and his fence post becomes embedded in a rock. That just happens to have a fossilized skull and a green gem inside. So as he tries to withdraw the fence post to continue defending himself, the energem power turns it into a dino saber, which lets him take a brief advantage over Fury and escape with his dog, but not before pocketing the gem from the stone.
I really like the setup, actually.
Yeah, it's okay. A short time later, inspired by the image of a dinosaur flashing through his mind, he leaves the farm for a while to go to a city with a museum to try to make sense of what's happened, because I guess you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah.
Because we need some pretense for him to want to go to the museum.
Right.
Although, as it turns out with the way the episode lays out, that's barely even necessary. So Tyler and Shelby are still driving back after their adventure. She's wondering why the energems would be in fossils, and Tyler makes a perfectly reasonable suggestion that maybe they got eaten. Congratulations, your powers derive from magic glowing dinosaur poop.
Tyler's a simple man.
So, well, I mean, it's not an unreasonable conclusion.
No.
They soon notice Riley broken down at the side of the road, his Vespa not even having been up to the task of getting past his own driveway.
It looks like it lost
a
wheel.
Yeah.
They stop and offer help, but he declines, saying he's got the manual, he can manage, just as a gust of wind from a passing truck tears the book pages out of his hands.
Actual comedic timing.
Followed by cut to the three of them in Tyler's Jeep.
Yes.
That
was pretty great, actually.
Riley's given them some backstory off screen, and Tyler and Shelby think living on a ranch sounds fantastic. But Riley's probable annoyance is disrupted as they come on yet another roadside emergency, this time an overturned car, with someone pinned underneath it. So the gas line is leaking, and somehow this is threatening to make the car explode even though it's not on fire.
Well, TV logic.
So all three of them give their full effort trying to free the trapped man, with no success, before one last group push causes their energem powers to awaken and flings the car in the air where it explodes relatively harmlessly. Meanwhile, a few miles away, dozens are maimed as an unexplained rain of shrapnel falls from the skies. Which honestly seems to fit right in with the show's so far theme of, you know, not really thinking of the long-term consequences of your offhand actions.
This is true.
Extinction events, etc. So a little later, the three of them roll up to the museum and head around to the dock around back. A dinosaur
which Tyler has to question, even though he's already been there once.
You know, if they would have just given that line to Riley, the line still could have been there to establish the setting and not made it sound stupid.
I somehow didn't even pay attention to that.
So there's a dinosaur head sculpture on the loading dock, and it catches Tyler's eye, and he wants a picture inside its mouth, as you do. But as he poses, he loosens a tooth and falls down its throat. Riley climbs up and discovers there's a hidden passage and immediately jumps down, and Shelby reluctantly follows. They find what they charitably call a lab, with two other gems hung in a wall. And in turn, all the gems they picked up are pulled from their hands and join the other two. Riley starts examining things, and oh, hey, Keeper's here. So he starts dropping exposition about how he gave the gems to dinosaurs to protect, and then a minute and a half or so later, the end of the world happened.
Well, he doesn't specify the time at which it took for them to become extinct, but...
Yeah. Or how.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not important.
Extinction is just a thing that happens sometimes.
Yeah, it's the natural order of the universe.
They're never... I just like... There's always just going to be this fridge horror that it's all his fault. That's never going to be addressed ever.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of amazing.
So he explains the gems are now bonded to the three of them, which causes Riley to be kind of confused. And then Chase and Coda walk out, along with Kendall, who immediately knows who Tyler and Riley are, creepily, and explains why they were bonded with. Chase and Coda are revealed to be bonded to the other two gems, and they welcome the newcomers to their team of Power Rangers.
Well, she explains how Tyler and Riley...
But apparently she hates Shelby for some reason.
No, she can't fathom why Shelby would be.
Maybe the pink gem just likes people who sneak around. And,
yeah, because Triceratops is known for being a stealthy animal.
Sure, whatever. Well, and raptors are known for, like, helping and defending others.
Totally!
Also yeah. Fencing.
Also right.
Mm-hmm. Don't you know?
Yeah. So conveniently at this time, an alarm goes off, requiring the new Rangers to move into action right away. Except Shelby, who is again hesitant. But after Kendall is super passive-aggressive, Shelby is adequately motivated to sign on and heads out with the others. Minus Tyler, who has to stay behind because of unspecified interference with his gem, preventing him from pulling it out of the wall.
I didn't really get that part either.
The others arrive within sight of Sentai footage of a volcano about to erupt, which is seemingly prompted by an angry Tyrannosaurus Zord, which apparently is also what's bothering the red gem's power. But that then seems to go away as soon as Kendall gives Tyler some dino chargers and sends him into the city with the inner gem.
Well, not entirely go away, it's just that she gave it to him. My impression was to go and subdue the Zord before he could actually transform, which is what he does.
Yeah, pretty much. So, meanwhile, Freezer Pop Bonky is making some of the putties fuse and grow giant just in time to intercept the runaway Dinozord themselves. And it gets frozen.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Good job, Rexy.
Tyler arrives and morphs and throws the Ener Gem at the Tyrannosaurus and... He frees it from the ice and then feeds it a dino charger.
As you do.
Yeah. Tyler fights the putties on the ground while the Zord holds off one of the big ones and alternately supports Tyler with, like, you know, fire breath or something.
Basically, it's now we're in Kyori Jiraiya episode 1 with a less annoying lead.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't seem as unjustified when Tyler takes out the other giant monster on his own because he's not such an asshole.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Because it's like he's doing all the same things as Daigo, except because he's so kind of goofy.
He's goofy and kind of like reserved a little bit.
Yeah, he's reserved enough that
and
when he
not really being the main character yet.
Yeah,
that's the reserved part.
Yeah. And it's like he comes across as a little silly without being an annoying asshole.
Irredeemably silly.
Yes.
Yeah. No, like, you know, Riley did not get the same kind of focus time that Tyler and Shelby did in the first episode.
They still got, like, a quarter.
To just, like, establish and develop themselves.
Yeah, he still got, like, a quarter of the episode, though.
Yeah, I mean, he got some, but, it was obviously truncated to get all the plot stuff in.
Right. This is very much a bridge episode.
So, you know, like... Even so, they've put noticeable effort into, like, developing the characters and kind of balancing them. Nobody's really dominating the show
right.
at this point.
And it takes that element that Samurai and Megaforce did have of kind of adhering more to Sentai formulas, name-calling out, and that kind of thing. Whereas Power Rangers would, in the past, kind of play fast and loose with that. And mm-hmm. I think it works better here because they're not just completely aping Kyoriger.
Right. Yeah, they're definitely building a different frame around the Sentai footage.
Right.
So it's you can take it a lot easier, and they're actually, like, putting some quality into the effort.
And finally, is that fact we talked about with Ever Since Samurai is the fact that the blending of the footage between the two sources is you can't even notice it now.
And like really in this episode, that's true because it's kind of hard to tell where, you know, the Sentai footage ends and the original begins.
Right, because like,
and they've taken extra steps towards that in editing, because I don't know if you noticed or not in the battles, but they've actually edited out the text from the Sentai footage as well.
They've reshot where they put the batteries into the guns.
Oh, wow, I didn't even notice that. Huh. That is some effort.
They really went the extra mile for that.
Well, and you know they should, because they're only producing 20 episodes a year, so they should have the time to actually do that sort of thing. And, well, I guess they did.
Well, and you know, when you're filming, like, a 3-second shot to fit into, you know, otherwise existing footage, it doesn't really take any time.
Well, yeah, but it's still effort that they didn't have to put in, and
yeah,
Power Rangers has not put in before.
I'll be interested to see if they, like, put together new Megazord cockpit.
Yeah, because it says Kyuriusion.
Yeah.
Or whatever form it's in at the time. Yeah, that's what I'm interested in seeing, because that is very prominent in basically any thing involving the mecha.
For as much as they put into like building sets and stuff, I would not be surprised if they put something like just duplicating what Kyuriju had. You know, all you need is a big black space with props in it, and you can match the visual style without a whole lot of trouble.
We know that they would usually get parts of the cockpit sets before.
Yeah, because Bulk and Skull were in the Megazord cockpit.
Yeah.
Right. Of course, that was 20 years ago. But yeah, it's possible. And it's not like those are big pieces, because it's not as complex as, say, Tokyo O's cockpit or something. Or
well, and in Jungle Fury, they recreated the cockpit environment to do some helmet-off stuff.
Oh, cool.
So, I mean, and that was a very similar-looking setup to Kyuriujin on the inside.
Right.
So, I mean, it's definitely something they can do.
I think Geki's might even be a little bit more involved in Kyuriujin, because Kyuriujin's is very, very simple.
It's just the platforms and the things hanging on, and the two things on the wall in the back.
It'd be something easy to just, like, recreate if they want to keep that style, or, you know, they could just go and do something completely original like they do with Samurai.
But the thing I like about this is that Kyuriujin does have, even if it's, like, kind of Sakamoto on overdrive, it does have some very cool looking action scenes, and now I can actually enjoy them.
Yeah, because there's not the like creepy parts bridging them.
Yes, even if I do kind of side eye every time the Pink Ranger kicks.
Just remember, it's a dude in the suit.
Right, or
production wise,
or at least an older woman.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yes. It's just not the 16-year-old.
Right.
That's the 10-year-old.
What?
Right.
What?
I'm kind of lost. So back to the episode?
So the others show up and it's Morphin time. As soon as someone teaches Shelby how a Dino Charger works. Which actually kind of took me back to Lost Galaxy, where when Caron took over as Pink Ranger, they had to do the same thing for summoning the Galactic Beasts.
I think it's a nice touch.
Yeah. Well, and at this point, she's so, like, pissed off.
At Kendall.
She's so pissed off from Kendall that she's just, like, trying to rush out in front and take charge and kind of gets sabotaged, and it's funny. You know, comedic timing before, actual funny character moment now. Yeah, I'm liking the way the show is produced.
Right.
So we go through a lot of Sentai and some new-looking stock footage bits, clearing out all the putties, and ending with Red doing the combo attack with the Tyrannosaurus Zord to finish the monster.
Bye-bye,
back at the lab, Keeper is all dismayed. Tyler and Riley share mutual admiration for each other's sword skills, while Coda just wants to make sure Shelby will still cook for him, even though she's now on the team. Which comes off a lot worse when you take a second to stop and think about that. Also, did you pay any attention to Coda's dialogue through the episode?
He appears to not fully speak English as well as the others.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot of lines in the first episode, but it's apparent now that, yeah, his English is very simple.
It is like Jiraiya Japanese in the first quarter of Kakuranger.
Something like that. You know, they're not going into his origin yet, but they're establishing the background for... There's something not quite right about him.
Yeah, I imagine we're going to be getting origins for the two that were already Rangers.
I think that's what episode 3 and 4, or 4 and 5 are going to be. I don't remember. The episode summaries kind of lean in that direction. I just don't remember which specific episodes they call out for that. So Riley wants to show off to his brother, but Kendall swears everybody to silence, as you do. Unless you're like Overdrive or Lightspeed or something, and it's just like, whatever. Chase is the only one who cares about Keeper looking bothered, and seems to have a sense of what's going on. Noting that what they thought wasn't Fury, and that Keeper told them Fury was the only monster on Earth, Keeper reveals the truth. Sledge must have returned. And sure enough, up in orbit, Sledge walks his prison, asking, who among them is a bad enough dude to save the president? I mean, defeat the Power Rangers. What, no love for old video game references?
No, I got it.
Thanks for the support. That just makes me feel worse about myself.
So yeah, this was a pretty good episode. I think it was a bit more rushed than the first one, though.
I didn't think it was quite as strong as the first episode, but, I mean, there's kind of a necessity to that. I think if this had been structured as, like, a discrete two-parter, instead of both episodes kind of being standalone but connecting, I think they probably could have structured it so both worked a little bit more solidly together.
Again, the budget they have will only go so far, and
right.
Even with those limits, I think they rushed things a bit here just to include more Sentai footage and fights.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's fine.
You know, they still did a lot better than what we've had over the last few years.
That doesn't say much, though.
That doesn't say much, but as good PR series go, I think it did fine.
I'm still satisfied with it, even if it's not quite as solid as the first episode opened.
Nah, I think it's fine.
Yep.
Like it's not even like I don't even have it at this point. So far, I have not seen anything that really gives me any major reservations or anything.
Well, and, like, I never really expected it to be, like, the first episode through the whole series.
Oh, God, no, of course. Because there wasn't, like, a Sentai footage in the entire thing. I mean...
you know, if it can hold up to what this episode was, it'll be fine. This is a perfectly good standard to hold to. No, Dino Charge is still doing quite well. I'm still satisfied with it, and, you know... Hopefully it just... keeps on as it is. Or it'll just start doing a downward slide and we won't care in another 3 or 4 weeks. Whatever. Which would be just in time for Garo to start and not have us have like 4 things to talk about every week. We
just make Power Play back, you know, an emergency thing for a little while.
Well, we've done it before.
Yeah, it might not be a bad idea.
Let's see how Garo turns out first.
Mickey, are you still awake?
I am.
Oh, okay, okay. Good.
Good, because trains are coming.
You too.
Well, it's
get
hard
off the damn tracks.
It's hard to stop a train. But I apparently not impossible.
No.
Is that an air conditioning joke?
So, Mickey, Tokuger?
Sure. All right, so...
Because you know where Cocker Ranger's going in a little while.
No.
Right off the cliff.
In circles?
No, all right, trains.
So this is Tokyo 46, otherwise known as the middle part of a 3-part story, so don't expect much.
The middle of the end of the end?
Yes.
the middle of the end of the end.
Which basically means this episode is more or less mostly filler between the two bookends.
Still important, but...
Important, but there's no real oh shit moments. It's just, you know, for the most part, it's just serviceable.
It is kind of what you expect, but it is also necessary, I think.
Yeah. I wouldn't cut it out, but there's just not a lot to talk about.
This isn't like a early season 2 multi-parter.
I will say this. I watched 47 directly after it, and I felt like all three of these episodes all together play off each other a lot better as a unit than apart.
Maybe when it comes to DVD and Blu-ray, there will be like a director's cut that just puts them all together.
That would probably
be an interesting idea.
Well, it is a Kobayashi series.
Yeah.
It's been done before.
Yes.
So it was the last left off. Wright was going full-on Super Saiyan darkness mode and just killing lots of crows in the middle of the street.
Not that you know, really difficult or anything.
No, but, you know. So Zed's Disco Darkness Palace is off in the distance, and Wright basically says, Zed, get your ass down here. Then he throws his sword like a goddamn missile.
Yeah.
Missing Zed's face by about 3 inches. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But what's even better is the next 10 seconds after that. And Zed's reaction.
Yes, so Zed barely blinks and starts to grabs a sword from over his shoulder and sort of casually flings it back at Wright's feet.
I think that at some point, I don't know when it happened.
These two had sex?
No. But I really started to like... He's not quite on Enter's level, but he's almost close. Because he's really freaking great in these last few episodes.
There's some Enter-esque aspects of his character in terms of his sort of aloof style.
And one thing that I do wish is that they had done is made a new sword prop to match the...
Still, I'm surprised they made a whole new suit as it was.
Really? I mean, so, they couldn't even be bothered to spray paint the train on the wrist to not be red anymore. And you would think, like, of any detail, that's what they would have redone.
I mean, that's still what he used to
transform. I'm surprised they're not selling a Dark Rush as some exclusive somewhere.
Give them time.
Yeah, just wait.
True.
Well, with Granny Goodness and Nero showing up, Hyper took you six... hops down and carries Wright off the train to convalesce underneath a cuddly blanket covered in adorable little sheep. Like, seriously, I love this blanket. I want this blanket.
It looks very warm. Comfy.
Yeah, it looks soft and warm, and I want to fall asleep underneath it.
Yes.
I think that's next on the list of things to steal from Toei's prop and costume department after baseball masks and after baseball mask and possibly Grita.
Well, all we have to do is send JDF to Toei's studio and he'll just steal everything.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. That was the best story. We never mentioned that on here, did we?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, did we?
It bears repeating.
So Chris Lee Andros from In Space put a video on his YouTube channel answering questions people had asked him on his Facebook, I think. And one of the questions was whether he, like, you know, took any souvenirs or anything.
Or was
from shooting.
Was he allowed to have any souvenirs, or if he had if he had anything from the show?
And his response was that by the time he got there, on the first day, the, like, prop masters and the producers took him aside and said, "Do not take anything. All this stays here. You can't have any of it." And the reason why was because when Jason David Frank was around, he took anything that wasn't nailed down. That was actually his exact quote.
The legacy of Tommy.
Yeah. So after that, there was a rule that nobody got to take anything off set. Anyway.
So, back in the train, Wright's blathering on about something, about darkness, and gotta do something. It's just really kind of...
And Puppet. probably something about puppets in there. Who knows?
Yeah. Akira says, yeah, well, I'll watch her back. Just don't run off and ditch me like you did last time, you little shit.
Akira's the best big brother.
And, of course, they have to pinky swear.
Which I did like.
This is a promise ritual Takagi taught me. Nice.
And it's not the way I expected it to come back, but it's nice.
Yeah. So let's go check in with the kids and their dorky lunchboxes or backpacks or whatever the hell they are.
Dorky everything.
It's Japan. They can be both.
Yeah. So they're off to go hang out at the secret base. And meanwhile, Wright's mom is like remembering, didn't I have sex 3 times? Pretty sure I did. I've got this hospital bill, but did I lose a child? Nah.
I don't know. I think it's more credible that she wouldn't remember because, like, it's remarkable enough that she had 2 kids. 3 is just impossible.
Yeah, that's just being silly.
Yeah.
A Japanese woman has 3 children.
The neighbors thought it was insane for having 2. We had to move.
Meanwhile, back in the train, Wright is having sadness hallucinations.
Which is not helped by Akira playing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star on the harmonica, despite knowing any number of other tunes.
Okay, so maybe he's not the best big brother.
He knows one other tune.
Well, even that would be better.
Well, this means he is a big brother. That's because he's trolling his little brother.
This is true. Like, think about what you did.
Hey, Wright, this gives you flashbacks, right?
Say, back at the darkness base, they're muttering about, oh, yes, we'll be dark. We'll be so dark. You haven't seen darkness yet. Whatever.
This isn't even my final dark.
Yeah, basically.
It's not, actually.
So, the remaining Tokyo team of, well, red,
is.
Orange, conductor, and the robot whore decide to
telephone puppet.
Yeah, don't forget about the monkey.
Don't forget about the monkey.
But the monkey is the conductor.
Exactly!
All right, don't forget about the monkey's puppet.
There you go.
What was I thinking?
Well, they're going to go storm the castle. Meanwhile, the Tokyo kids are eating chocolate.
Oh, no, but before that, though, conductor says that after being around you so long, we're not so afraid of the darkness. The way I'm choosing to interpret this is that being around the Tokyoers has made them stupider. And that's why they're not as afraid of the darkness anymore.
That could be.
Yeah.
I took it a bit different way. Replace darkness with black.
That just sounds racist for me.
Yes, I know.
Point here.
Moving on?
That was kind of my point.
Oh, Japan, so racist.
Oh, Texans, so racist.
All right, so the Tokyo kids are eating chocolates and thinking about how much they need to get to the point of them remembering that Wright exists, basically. They're like, hey, we should really remember that Wright exists soon. Yeah, we should. I hope the writers write us remembering that in soon. Wright's mom is still having phantom child pains. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, that's right. An awesome moment is, as the Tokyo train is off to invade the palace, a dark liner bursts out of the ground, and then 3 more surround the train and just generally jack it up.
Train gangbang.
Yes.
So apparently they still had some darkliners left.
Which all combined together to form a super darkliner, which, have we seen that before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Repeatedly. Okay.
It's Tokyo Rainbow size, only he doesn't have Tokyo Rainbow. Whoops.
Because reasons.
Because all the other trains are elsewhere.
Well, he doesn't even have Hyper whatever. Yeah.
Alright, so with Tokyo 6 distracting the trains, Zed and Wright get to meet for their pointless battle.
Yeah.
The battle where we know they're going to fight and it's going to not amount to anything because we're in the middle of a three-parter here. So what could possibly happen?
He's the final villain, so.
Yeah. Nothing's getting resolved here.
Besides him insinuating that he murdered Greta.
Yeah, and that kind of sets right off.
Yeah, just
yeah. But as always, you know, good guys using darkness never works out, so right, because it's ass beat. But thankfully,
he can't imagine his own victory. Which is kind of a depressing thought.
Well, that was the problem he had earlier, too, when Akira had to come and bail him out.
Yeah.
He's run out of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Insert metaphor here.
I don't really think it's a metaphor. I think it's exactly what they're telling us.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing that the puppet and the slut bot have an idea of, let's drive a train into Zed.
How long have we talked about somebody just trying to drive a train over a monster in the series?
Yeah, you know, come on. Magi Ranger figured that out.
No, but that happened in Kyoryuger versus GoBusters-ish.
Oh, yeah.
Kyoryuger showed up at the very end and they ran over the last...
It did. Yeah. Still, it's nice to see that somebody trying to employ it.
Unfortunately, it's less successful.
Yeah. Kind of looks awesome, though, when he just stops the train cold.
Yeah. Would've been better, though, if, like, you know, the train didn't actually stop. He just, like, you know, put his hand out, it ran into it, and flipped over him.
Yes! That would've been awesome, actually.
Yeah.
Would have had the same effect, too.
Back at the tree, the kids discover that Akira has left them a memory bomb full of, photos to remind them of...
Photos that fall off the tree at convenient times.
Yes. Yeah.
Why, it's too dangerous to put those kids up in that tree to get them down. I mean, they're our precious natural resource. They're an endangered species.
I don't say something. They have many of them.
So as the kids look at photos of the older selves, they realize, oh, this is us. Oh, yeah, and there's Wright. I remember him now. Well, then let's give up everything that he sacrificed for us and become adults again.
Yes, of course. That's probably a good idea, actually, though.
Well, considering...
they didn't ask for it.
Yeah.
Now, look, you can't let kids have everything they ask for. Sometimes you have to do things that are for their own good, even though they don't understand right now.
But what if it's another kid doing it?
Look, don't test me.
Isn't that just bullying, then?
Do as I say, not as I do.
Well, that's a danger. That sounds like a dangerous practice.
I will turn this podcast around right now. We will go backwards through this episode of Tokyuger, backwards through Dino Charge, and all the Toy Fair stuff again, and go home.
You will turn this train and this dinosaur around.
Yes.
So as the kids get out their crayons and doodle up some new train passes, which thankfully works because that's how they worked in the first place.
Oh, yes. Logic within the series.
Zed is about to murder Wright, but before he does, he erotically whispers into him, check this shit out. At which point, the Disco Darkness Palace transforms into a giant super robot.
There's your final dark.
And it's not terribly threatening looking. It just looks like a big jester-themed triangle.
Yeah, basically.
It looks
compared
like
to some of their other monsters, this is a little less inspired.
It looks like the Gorma base grew arms and legs.
Yeah.
Like, you almost expect Serpentera to land and just shoot it and disintegrate it.
The thing I like is that he told Granny Goodness to just stay in there and didn't tell her why. I was half expecting it to eat her.
I think the reason he wanted her to stay in there is just because she would be in the way otherwise.
Yeah.
And she is not competent enough to realize that.
Yeah, like he can use Nero as bait for Akira. He can at least fight.
Well, I guess she can fight, too.
Sort of.
Boswell's Nero.
Eh.
Exactly.
She can ineffectively wave a weapon at someone, also.
This is true.
She lacks the hat cannon, but, I mean, when was that last a thing?
Or the whole odd job toss thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's basically like Nero, but without the gimmicks.
So, useless.
Right.
Right.
Speaking of which, how's Wright doing?
Wright is whining incoherently as the Disco Darkness Palace farts darkness all over the town, taking it back into darknessnessness.
More barf darkness, but yes.
Okay, so like, to Mickey's point, if you fart out of your armpits, see a doctor. To Ken's point, if you vomit out of your armpits, see a doctor.
I'll come from the front, but okay.
So I'm just saying it was a gas,
it odors darkness. It needs some Old Spice. Okay.
Ew.
What?
Ew.
So that was,
what are you, 50?
46.
30.
Are you Don now?
Bite me.
Not if you smell like Old Spice.
Well.
What about Young Spice? Or Scary Spice? So, yes, that was Tokyo 46. Unremarkable episode, part of a very good three-parter.
The episode after is pretty good.
Yes.
Well, it's the last one.
It's not my favorite
end
to a series, but it's good.
It's good.
And let's leave it at that till everyone watches it.
Yes.
It's not as good as Go Kaiju or Go Busters endings, but...
It makes me want more. Which we're getting more, so, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of, there was something in spoiler news, but I guess we're going to skip over that one.
That is why I skipped over that one.
Right. V-Cinema is coming. As is the Versus movie. Mm-hmm. Then the other Versus
movie.
It'll
tie some things up.
And the V-Cinema and the Versus movie are both not going to be available to us until the summer.
Yay, Japan!
The Versus movie comes out in March, next month.
Are you sure? I was told summer.
Since when? They always come out in March.
Didn't Overtime's status update post say...
I can find out.
I'm looking right now, too.
I'm not looking at Overtime.
status post.
Just wait to find that.
Okay, so... Alright, I believe they've edited this because I'm positive that the wording of this was not Versus won't be out until spring and then followed by Returns until summer. They had it both saying won't be out till summer.
They did.
Okay.
You were not going crazy.
But they were incorrect.
Well, that's debatable anyway, but
it also means that I went to the last second to back up XP on that.
It also means I was not personally wrong. I was just, you know, giving wrong information that I was given.
Fort Max was just letting XP just sort of flop around there on the dry land for a little bit.
Yes, yeah, let's see. Versus movie is out on DVD and Blu-ray March 20th.
So we got a month.
Situation normal, then.
Month-ish. Maybe early April.
Well, that's when it usually comes out, and I thought that was weird in Overtime's original post because you don't usually have to wait till summer for the Versus movie, necessarily. Sometimes we end up waiting till summer anyway.
So long as it's not as long as... Has anybody subbed the Gaim movie yet?
TV Nihon? No.
Has anybody subbed the Gaim movie yet?
Well, I guess since Acer doesn't care about completing Gaim, we'll just have to turn to TV Nihon to watch the rest of it.
Oh, no, I can't do that. I can't. I watch it raw.
It's just a soccer movie anyway. I mean, how important could that be?
I'll go in bareback.
That's very unsafe behavior.
You know me by now.
That's how you roll. Like the thrill of it. The danger.
See, I was hoping you would follow up with that, and you didn't disappoint.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Ragu introduces Chicken Tonight Simmer Sauces, and suddenly everybody's saying,
I feel like chicken tonight, chicken tonight.
Choose from six new sauces, each one's made with real vegetables and herbs, so you can make dishes like country French chicken and chicken cacciatore. Just brown the chicken, simmer, and serve.
I feel like chicken tonight,
New Chicken Tonight Simmer Sauces from Ragu.
Chicken Tonight.
Aye, 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 aye! Master Vile has turned back time with disastrous results! Zordon, help! summon the help of the Mighty Morphin Alien Rangers from a faraway galaxy. Alien Rangers, the future of Earth depends upon your interplanetary powers. We need your help.
Don't look now, Melchior Vile, but the Alien Rangers have summoned their mighty battle force. And the evil plan you hatched is about to be foiled. You'll wish you've never been hatched.
Alien Rangers and Battle Force from Bandai.
You're listening to Power Playback on Superhero Time.
Well, we're back, and it's our second week of Black Ranger History Month. So, you know, we did a boring Season 3 Mighty Morphin Power Rangers episode last week, and I thought we should do something a little bit more involved this time. Something with more catch to it. So I picked Kaku Ranger. Specifically, two episodes that are basically a kung fu movie. Because, you know, they focused on Jiraiya. He was black. Well, Black Ranger. Being that he was Japanese, he wasn't actually a black person. But, you know, semantics. So, to do the summary this week, I figured, Ken, why don't you get on it? Ken, why don't you get on it?
Get down on it. Doodle-doo, doodle-doo.
Ken, put the pork rinds down.
Do you hear any pork rinds? Do you see any tears?
Maybe you were... Are you crying pork rinds?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Ken, you may have a problem.
I may. So, these two episodes of Kaku Ranger, considering that I have not watched the whole series through, and...
Why?
Because I had to do. Because, that's why. I think we discussed about the fact that I couldn't sit down and marathon it, because it's too freaking cracky. But, however...
Much like crack, if you do a lot at one time, it stops having so much of an effect on you.
Oh, okay. Now, here's the thing, though. The episodes we had reviewed up until now have been kind of zany. Not so much this couple of ones. So,
no.
I am guessing they're going around looking for these scrolls for the not Ninja Zords.
Yeah, this is Zeo Quest.
Okay. And they have everything except the frog, right?
Right.
Right. Okay.
This is the end of Zeo Quest.
Gotcha.
But you know, all the other quest episodes are unconnected because it's their individual quests.
Gotcha. So we have Jiraiya searching around somewhere in Japan.
Presumably in Japan, yeah.
Some kids.
Well, they say it's in Japan, so yeah, somewhere in Japan.
Some kids get attacked by yokai, and he goes down, starts fighting.
Well, a yokai and a Dora monster.
Okay, here's the thing. These are two episodes. I am not going to nitpick these. Two episodes that I have no context on, also.
Fortunately, they don't need a whole lot of context besides that. Well, this is the end of Zeo Quest.
Right, it's the end of Zeo Quest. So, then Ninja Red shows up also, and then the yokai escape with the kids. Oh, whoops.
Because Sasuke is all like, hey, I finished my quest, I'm going to come help do yours. I'm bored.
Right. So, Sasuke...
I can buy him saying that, too.
Sasuke and Jiraiya wind up in an Old West set. A Toei Old West set, I guess.
Yeah, well, it shows up again in O-Ranger vs. Kaku Ranger.
Better than the Edo period, right?
I think this shows up in it was Time Ranger vs. Go-Go 5, too.
B.
Right.
Thank you.
Regardless, the yokai are getting drunk at a bar with the kids tied up. And so the Kaku Rangers bust in. Only to find, apparently, Jiraiya Sensei.
Played by his actual dad.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Fun.
Must have been interesting. But yeah.
Other roles his dad has had. Lee Van Cleef stunt double.
Right. Who? So Jiraiya gets laid out, and now we get to see...
Wait, whose stunt double was he?
Lee Van Cleef's.
Ken, you were saying?
So then we get to see Sasuke's pants, unfortunately.
No, you get to see Sasuke's denim skirt. Because there is nothing that is except a denim skirt.
Oh, God.
It's such a 90s look, too.
Kaku Ranger's summer wardrobe is kind of amazing.
So anyway, we cut back to Los Angeles, 1986, with a Marlboro billboard that you would never see nowadays.
Well, it was 1986.
Yeah.
Actually, it was 1995 when this was filmed, but that's beside the point.
They could have, you know, pulled some stock footage out of an old movie, though. Maybe that was 1986.
Maybe it was. I don't know.
I mean, it's not like they're going to send somebody to, you know, film in downtown Los Angeles for...
Even a modern Sentai would never show all these billboards, like, so prominently.
No.
Especially not the Marlboro one.
Well, I don't know. It's not. They're not showing kids smoking. It's fine.
Right.
It's not like kids in Japan are unaware of cigarettes.
So, Gali Sensei apparently took him in and raised him as a family until he became an adult.
After his father was killed by Wolverine.
Yes.
Right.
Wolverine. After his father died. His father. But, you know,
tragic backstory.
Yes, Gali was married to an actual American woman, it looks like. Or at least English, white, blonde.
English speaking, yeah.
Yes.
In that wacky way that they let people speak English in Japanese shows.
Yes.
Where it sounds really artificial and...
stilted and...
Yeah.
Oh,
you were so great.
Yes.
I'm really proud of you.
Why his son, since they tried to punch his face in. While they were trying to fight the yokai.
Well, I mean, if it was Piccolo, it would just be, DODGE!
Yeah. And so Jiraiya runs off, and Sasuke tells him, wait, it might be a trap. Might be. This is our Red Ranger. Ladies and gentlemen.
The sad thing is, he's one of the smarter people on the team.
Yes. So he talks to... Then somebody shows up that I don't know who it is, and he talks to him, and...
Oh, that's Sundayu, who's basically, like, the occasional advisor.
Basically,
so he's the semi-keeper for the series?
No, well, he hasn't caused mass extinctions.
Right. That's how you tell the difference.
So we flash back to Jiraiya leaving America in his cowboy getup.
Good continuity there.
Yeah, it is.
Apparently, just before he got on a boat for what's probably, you know, a week or two on sea, you know, to Japan, that was the only clothes he had.
He must have smelled in that episode.
I wonder if he was wearing the rollerblades when he left, too.
I don't know. We don't really see. But, you know, so he got a pendant and everything. Their hearts will be connected. Their hearts will go on. I will always love you. Oh, wait.
I told you it was the 90s.
It was. So anyway, Dry is back on the Wild West set, where his sensei shows up. They talk in a bit, and then Gali Sensei transforms into an 80s/90s Sentai villain, which is basically what that sums up to.
Yeah.
Now, have they used that armor somewhere else? Because I feel like I've seen it before.
Fort Max.
I'm not sure.
It may just be that it's similar enough to, you know, Dude in Die Ranger. Unless you didn't watch Die Ranger, in which case that's probably not it.
No, I think I watched most of Die Ranger.
Maybe that's what you're thinking of. Anyway.
So anyway, it's time for fighting. And Jiraiya starts getting his shit pushed in. It's a really brutal fight, though.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it quite a lot, actually.
It's very un-Sentai.
It's very 90s Sentai. You can you suddenly remember, oh wait, Die Ranger was the series the year before, wasn't it?
Yeah, this kind of action I don't think they could get away with nowadays.
No, not even.
Well, no. I mean, for one thing, nowadays they have models
we'll find out next year.
Yeah, they have models doing the lead roles now, so, like, they're not going to let them do all this knockdown drag-out stuff, yeah. Where, you know, like, they had mostly martial artists in the 90s.
Yeah, like, Jiraiya gets hit, and you freaking believe it in this fight. So he flashes back.
Of course, you can actually hit him because he looks like he's been carved out of damn wood. He looks like a Greek statue. I mean, you could, like, bounce boulders off of his back, I bet, and he wouldn't even flinch.
Mickey has thought about this, apparently.
Oh, in great detail.
Well, then. So, Jiraiya has a flashback to where his father was murdered by Wolverine.
Bob.
Where he thinks his father was killed by yokai. That makes sense, right? That's why he decided to become a Cocker Ranger.
Or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Motivation! Origin stories! So he you know, since I just said, well, all men change. This is what I am now. And, you know, there's more fighting, more kicking dry around until suddenly Sasuke busts out with a freaking rifle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something else we couldn't get away with nowadays.
No, but it's kind of awesome.
Well, remember when Jiraiya showed up, he was carrying guns too.
This is true. So Sasuke leaps to the logical conclusion that it must be a yokai. Which actually makes sense in Sentai logic.
That was my first guess.
Yeah. So now it's Sasuke's turn, and he transforms. This doesn't really necessarily go any better. It actually goes
help.
A lot worse. And it ends with Sasuke untransformed and Gaali about to crush his throat, actually. He's not standing on his head. He's standing on his neck.
That's so much better.
It is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So Jiraiya finally gets pissed off enough.
And he goes Super Saiyan. Wait, what?
Oh, no, actually not. And then suddenly Gaali whips out the same Wolverine claws that murdered his father. Surprise!
It was him all along, Austin.
Right, so flying jump kick and to be continued. This is a very 90s episode. Holy hell.
Pretty
in
great,
some
though,
of the good ways, though.
It's like you can almost take out all the Sentai parts and it plays like some 80s, 90s revenge kung fu movie.
Yeah, it's a kung fu movie.
It is!
I mean, that's what Jiraiya's dad acted in a lot.
Yeah.
There you go. Jiraiya's actual dad or Jiraiya's dead dad?
The actor's dad.
His dad, okay.
He and Jiraiya were beating the snot out of each other just earlier, so...
Among right. other things.
Well, yeah, like, there's one point in the fight in the first episode where Jiraiya hits his back against a wall and, like, blood sprays out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Which, you know, generally you would not get that in Sentai at all.
True.
Because, like, you can show a lot of things to Japanese audiences, but blood is still largely considered, you know, you don't do that, really.
Well, generally, kids don't want to see their heroes get beaten to a bloody pulp.
Although it's kind of great.
It's generally upsetting for four-year-olds to see such a thing.
Yeah. And actually, wasn't this Western set used in the Go-On-Jur episodes of Gokaiger?
No.
Probably. I mean, maybe. They can't have
similar,
one Western set.
I wouldn't put it past them to use that set again.
Just like they have one Edo set.
Right.
Japan's not that big.
Actually, they don't have an Edo set. They actually have a time travel machine. They actually travel back to the Edo period.
They own a park. They own a theme park.
They hack through time.
Yeah. Okay. It was very expensive, so they got to use it over and over again.
Okay, so back to the second episode. I will never forgive you. And now Jiraiya is actually beating the crap out of him. And it's also just as awesome, if not more awesome, than it was in the first episode. When he was getting the crap beaten out of him. Like, you can't really play-by-play it, but it's, you know, it's very visceral. Mm-hmm. And it goes on and on. It's a long fight, actually, and not a lick of it is transformed, either.
Yeah.
Although there are some laser effects, so that loosens the kung fu neatness a bit.
A little bit, but they finally fight all the way to a train yard. where Jiraiya takes Gali's Wolverine claw from him, and then just slices the crap out of him, and it's about to put it right through his freaking head, and stops.
Of course, by that point, the damage has been done anyway.
Oh yeah, he instead of giving him a quick death, he makes him suffer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, flashback to 1986 again, and I love this sign that it's like, we must establish this as America. So put up this half-ass sign of how far it is to Los Angeles or Lancaster. So
why Lancaster?
I don't know.
I don't know.
So Golly is being a poor driver and drives off a cliff where his car explodes in midair.
So awesome.
I don't get it. That wasn't a Pinto.
And then crashes. There is no way there was a single survivor from that. But apparently.
This is so a kung fu movie.
Yeah. So, family's dead.
Well, wife's dead, I guess.
Only mostly.
Wife's dead, and, the daughter's about to die. So, a yokai shows up and offers to give him, you know.
Yeah, that's Niue. He's been the villain for this little mini arc.
Okay, he's been the villain for the one
In the cave underground, you know, right. Doing sideline commentary.
So, here's a question. Since season 3 was adapted from Cocker Ranger, did they get inspiration for the Zio Quest from this?
I'm sure.
Must
probably.
Because this is a lot more awesome than it. But it's, you know, some of those notes there. You know, going off in the random places, searching for powers and meeting past or connected people and so on and so forth.
And I recognized the yokai this week from Power Rangers Season 3. I think we did that episode, too.
The Hate Master.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I don't know if we did that episode, but yeah, that's...
So, anyway, Niue offered to save his daughter if he murdered somebody.
Well, there's a particular reason for killing Jiraiya's father, but, you know.
Well, yeah, let me go back to it. If I killed your father, he would say... What's the reason? I forget, honestly.
So, you know, Jiraiya's father was a cop, and apparently he was getting close to exposing a ring of assassins that Niue had assembled.
I'm gonna hit it. Sorry, I just watched
this episode. Because that's a thing.
It made him a priority target.
Right, so thus he, because he would let his guard down around Gali, then he just slashes his skull open.
Mm-hmm.
Quick, easy.
Yeah.
Quicker than Jiraiya gave him.
Well, not really. He was still alive for a little while there in the rain.
Oh, well, I guess so. Not as long as him, though, because he has enough to exposit all of this.
Well, long enough for, you know, little Jiraiya to run up and see his father cut open, bleeding to death, and then die right in front of him.
Okay, yeah, so and thus, that's why he, for, you know, his guilt and shame and all so on and so forth, that's why he took Jiraiya in to take care of him, I guess, suppose.
Because, you know, going to all that trouble... And, like, you know, giving up himself to save his daughter, but he didn't think at the time that, you know, his friend would leave a kid behind, too, so...
Right. So he reversed the problem, actually.
Basically.
Yeah. But no, it's all very good, and actually, for not, you know, having followed the series, it's actually pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Especially considering all that we've covered before on Cocker Ranger was zany, wacky, fun times.
And the thing is, too, like, this is the first, like, real background on Jiraiya, besides that, oh, hey, he's from America. Look at him talk funny.
That's why, besides it being the conclusion to the arc, it gives him 2 episodes focus on it.
Yeah.
Did the others just have 1 episode, or?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
No, two of them share an episode.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they turn
into Kappa.
Yeah.
So they cut.
That was actually the immediate previous episode.
And like,
Kappa.
Compared to like things that they wouldn't show on today's Sentai, when he dies, he really looks like he's dead. Like he really just looks like the life just drains right out of him.
Something else we couldn't get away with nowadays.
Which is good acting, actually. It is not easy to die.
Comedy is hard. Dying's easy.
So, thus, with his mentor slash, you know, orphan creator.
Father.
dead.
Orphan creator?
Well, now...
Did you say orphan creator?
Orphan creator. And see, now it's really screwed up because Dryas created another orphan.
Well, after all this time, I mean, his daughter is probably an adult, right?
Still.
So. Probably still in a coma.
Oh, damn.
Well, no, they said Nue healed her.
Okay. So anyway, Jiraiya calls Nue out, and he and Sasuke transform, and they fight until Nue grows, because they're not wasting much time around here.
Well, they don't have much time left. I mean, they just spent the better part of 2 episodes, you know, beating each other half to death.
And then suddenly, Jiraiya gets a scroll. That was the point of this episode, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
So the scroll basically finds him. And
the scroll decided he was pointless. Ready.
It's like, that search was pointless.
Kill his adoptive father for the scroll to decide, yeah, you can get my frog.
Summons a giant frog.
That's basic, like, the whole quest has been about personal growth for the Kaku Rangers, not about, like, physically locating their scroll.
I like this, though. It's like, you don't get that nowadays, like, gradually introducing one mecha at a time to form an entire robot.
Yeah. Mm.
It's an interesting way of going about it.
I like that Japan has no concept of how frogs might attack someone.
So it just spits out little frogs.
And has a flamethrower.
Oh, of course, yes. Don't you know when frightened?
When frightened, frogs swarm and electrocute you.
They do, and also
only in Australia.
In their mouth, they have a sack of gasoline that, when frightened, they emit a gas which ignites. Unfortunately, it didn't catch fire.
How awesome that flamethrower is! That you can see the stream of propellant being ejected from the mouth right before it catches fire.
You know, it's like they made a prop for that frog Zord just for that.
Uh huh.
That it was literally just.
They made a flamethrower frog prop.
Yes,
for like one effect shot.
They made a frog simply to shoot fire. How amazing is that?
That's pretty amazing.
It is.
When they're designing it, they said, you know what? We're going to have a frog Zord. What could attacks could it do? Well, it could kick things. It could. Or, no, wait, hear me out on this. You've always wanted to build a flamethrower into a frog, right? Well, yeah.
I do now. Do that.
That's what we're doing.
I did it before, but I do now. Like, if you mentioned that, who wouldn't?
I would.
That's because you're boring.
I said I would.
Oh, you would? Okay, I'm sorry. My bad, I misheard that. I'm sorry. So the Mecha All Attack, and they don't combine yet. We still have to wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a lot more restraint than you would see nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Oop, gotta cram all 5 of them into the first episode. We'll see how that works out next week. It does remind me also, I do like in the promos, it mentions like how Ninja is the third generation ninja Sentai, third generation ninjas. And I think in the show, aren't they like third generation? And that's also like, but they're also playing on the fact that it's the third ninja Sentai.
Yes,
something like that.
So what are the odds are we'll get a super crossover like we did with the dinosaurs?
Well, here's the thing: if they do it, I hope they don't screw over Tokyuger. But that makes me think that that's what they'll do. They're going to do it.
Well, Tokyo's getting a V Cinema, though, so, you know, we're already getting...
So did Go Busters, and they still got screwed.
Well, I mean...
Yeah.
Not so much screwed as, you know, well, y'all got your extra movie time, so what are you complaining about?
Yes, but they should have that, but Kyoreager got a V Cinema. They didn't get screwed.
Yeah, but they start to begin with, so no one cares how much they get.
Did they get a V
Cinema? I do, because I don't want them to get any more.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if it comes down to the V Cinema for Tokyuger versus a Versus movie, I'd rather have the V Cinema because that can concentrate solely on the Tokyugers and maybe stay in continuity with them.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a Versus movie, half of it's going to be split with the other team, and It wouldn't be as good, I don't think. So,
Morrison's movies are fun sometimes, but yeah, just like a dedicated story to the team.
If it's a show I care a lot about, I'd really have more focus on the team again, mm-hmm. rather than having to split focus between two teams.
Which is not to say that, you know, team-up stuff doesn't have its merit, because, like, you know, in Kamen Rider War, you had Kaito and Shotaro hanging out, which was, you know, just beautiful.
Oh, yeah, and Shinken versus Gohanger.
Right.
It had lots of good stuff in it, but, you know, if I had my druthers, I'd rather have it all Gohanger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd still like to see Gohanger Returns.
Yes.
Go on your 10 years after. None of them have actually moved on with their lives.
They're still failures.
They're all still just riding around in the bus together.
Yeah. But yeah, so for, you know, not having seen the entire series, that was a pretty effective couple episodes, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have seen the majority of Kaku Ranger, so I knew these two episodes would actually work on their own.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So this was a power playback I chose, having actually seen enough of the series to know.
Well, wonders never cease.
No, it's just totally coincidence that I wanted to pick something from something I actually watched already. Don't count on
it
to happen again.
What's up next for Black History Month?
Well, RPM. Because that had the Black
Ranger.
Which
episode?
Good question. It's the episode that focuses on Black.
So, which... So, no. That's half a series. Just kind
Hang
of...
Hang on.
Just
Let's
get an
look.
Episode list, throw a dart, you got a 50% chance of hitting it.
Blitz?
Yes, episode 12.
Is that the... I forget which one that is. Is that the one with the satellite? Bonky?
It's the one with his memories.
Right. Isn't it like some kind of a like satellite monster? Something like that.
I don't remember.
Right, okay, anyway.
But that's what it is. Because that's just one episode. And the next few episodes are like a linked sequence. Of course, if we did 14 and 15, we would see the go on your vehicle.
That isn't really true.
I like they just had to make their own bus with Gohanger on the side so they could use that part of the footage.
Only to then trash it.
Well, it's not like they would ever need it again.
It's like, oh, no wonder y'all ran out of budget.
Well, and from that, like, that episode, too, it's like, what's Red's name? Scott?
Scott.
Yes.
He was talking about how that vehicle was one of his dad's pet projects in the military. One of his dad's pet projects was a motorhome.
Yes, it was. Well, in fairness, it's like his dad's basically all they had left after the fact, so...
Yeah. Only the best and brightest in the city of Corinth.
Or whoever made it there.
Only the best and brightest. Well, you know, at that point, they are the best and brightest.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
God help humanity.
Next week for Power Playback, we'll be wrapping up Black Ranger History Month with episode 12 of Power Rangers RPM. I think that's a good
And wrapping up Tokyuger as well.
Well, aww. Yeah, that too. And then the week after that, we should have ninjas.
Ding ding. If Overtime doesn't sub it, I'm sure somebody will.
Somebody
like
will.
Like Tiffany Han.
Somebody
I'm sure
will.
Somebody will.
Like TV Nihon.
I'm sure somebody will.
I mean, who do we have out there like that would alternately sub Sentai if Overtime wasn't doing it? Because, like Grown Ups and Spandex basically doesn't have a translator anymore, right?
We do, but he's been busy lately, and also probably is, and also really isn't wanting to do weeklies.
I'm sure somebody will.
Who's the translator for what Meganon's doing these days?
Ko.
Would Ko do a weekly?
Probably not.
See, we're just running out of options all over the place here.
Somebody will do it.
Would Shout Factory do a weekly?
It'll be fine. Oh, God, I wish.
It'll be simulcast on Crunchy.
I wish.
God, I wish.
They all wish. all the fan subbers wish.
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't think they if that stuff got, you know, weekly simulcasts like One Piece does or so on and so forth, which is a Toei show. I don't think the fan subbers would actually complain. The stupid fandom would, but the fan subbers would.
I think Saban might complain.
Fan subbers would take the opportunity to finally get going back on Deca Ranger and Time Ranger and other bigger stuff.
Saban is the very reason why it'll never, ever happen.
No, it isn't.
The functional problem I
there
see with
Crunchyroll has specifically answered on with regards to Sentai and Kamen Rider, and that it's that it costs that the various licensing and stuff for the various actors unions would be way too much for them.
Oh, interesting.
So it's just too expensive then.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. I would have thought it would just be a matter of Saban. Of course, then again, G-Ranger is being released, so.
But G-Ranger is very, very.
Well, are any of them acting anymore?
It is, but that shows that being Sentai is not necessarily a deterrent.
And anyway, a simulcast would really.
It's specifically the way that the life that stuff is set up. For Toei
royalties and
stuff.
Shit.
Toei's
live action stuff, yeah. Because
anyway,
Toei Animation is a different unit. Is treated pretty much completely separate, its own thing. Then Toei's live action stuff's another thing.
And anyway, I don't think an online stream of, you know, subtitled Sentai, you know, the week it airs in Japan would actually be any kind of competition for Power Rangers.
No, it wouldn't. You're right.
Anyway, there is like a big functional problem with doing simulcast Sentai also, which is, have you seen the subtitles on Sailor Moon Crystal some weeks?
Well, it really depends on who's doing them, because Sailor Moon Crystal is Viz, supposedly. And
right, but like some weeks Crystal's subs are passable, other weeks it's like they came from Hong Kong.
Right,
like there is a wide variance in the level of quality. And
I imagine that's a matter of when does Toei get them the script,
and who is doing the subtitles? Because like, let's see
it's Viz though overall, right?
Yeah,
Viz has the license, but they outsource the work.
I mean,
per episode.
They could,
and sometimes it's the Japanese licensor. That dictates who does the translation.
They decided Takanoko should do all the translations.
No, it would be
No. It's not.
There's not enough
translator notes for that.
Not enough After Effects. Too bland.
No, Takanoko doesn't do the typesetting.
Still.
You can't blame him for everything.
I can and I will.
Most things, but not everything.
It doesn't mean I'm right, but I still can. That is the power of free speech.
I want to make the TFG one mic joke, but I can't figure out how to make it work. Instead, I think I'll just settle for implying that you're being TFG one mic.
Oh,
TFG one mic just a joke on its own, though?
Yeah. And none of that's getting edited out. So, we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Me and David went out in shorts today, so it's not really cold here.
Hey.
Must be nice, because it might freeze tonight here. Actually,
and your whole state will stop.
It will, because Georgia is run by idiots.
Well, I remember last.
That's
because
it's inhabited by idiots.
I remember last winter, you know, all the news was about the half an inch of snow in Georgia and how everybody was losing their shit.
Yeah, I know.
All services shut down. The roads were like, there was abandoned cars on the interstate because nobody could drive.
Well, see, also the thing though is like Georgia's roads. They don't prepare them for that. They don't prepare them for that kind of stuff. They don't throw down anything, and then they're not serviced well as it is. So you add even just a thin layer of ice on top of that, and everybody just starts going off the road if they don't know what they're doing.
Well, you know, ice and snow in the South isn't really a common occurrence. So, like, maybe once a year. You can't really afford to set aside $500,000 for winter preparedness every year.
We have, in the Dallas area, sand trucks and stuff, but we're not going to have snowplows that we're never going to use.
Right. So it's like, you know, I guess they feel like shutting down for half a week is cheaper.
no one knows how to drive on that stuff because there isn't enough stuff there to actually learn how to drive on it.
This is what I tell my northern friends. They still stare at me like I'm stupid, but you know.
they don't need snow plows. They just need flamethrowers that can fit on the regular vehicles to shoot fire out in front and melt everything on the road.
Dude, that'd be badass.
Yeah.
Just for perspective on the cold, it was 10 below here this morning.
Christ.
But it's a dry heat.
Right.
Yeah, and it's you want to laugh at us not knowing how to deal with snow. Let's see, how did New York City do when temperatures were hovering around 100?
Well, I believe thousands of people died.
Yeah, I can deal with 100.
I'd prefer that right now, I think.
I don't like it, but I can deal. Drank a lot of water. You're good. Put some sunscreen on.
Yeah, come down here in spring when it's hot, muggy, and full of pollen.
Yeah!
The point of all this conversation is that every place in the United States sucks at one point in the year.
It does.
Yeah,
or if you're in Georgia, at all points of the year.
Oh my god!
And like Oklahoma had the tornadoes and JD made us listen as they almost killed him. You know, it's just... Every place
has
it.
You have a helicopter outside your house.
I have to admit, this is an interesting variation of the Cyloning.
It's getting louder. Oh, man.
The helicopter's got it.
Any better?
Yeah.
What?
I thought those black helicopters were supposed to be silent.
In the late 80s, I had this electronic keyboard with, like, synthesizer functions, and I'm telling you, that sounds exactly like the what they called drums on that.
I think I had the same thing.
Aren't drums all are keyboards banjo. Electronic?
Well, you mean the difference between a keyboard and a piano, right?
Oh, that kind of keyboard. Well, I thought you meant like a computer keyboard.
Yeah, my Microsoft keyboard has a synthesizer built into it.
It might. I mean,
I don't know what sort of crazy stuff you'd have. You've had Kilby buy for you.
Now, of course, there was a time I made him buy a car
for your comfort.
Super Hero Time. 次回もよろしく。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.